Hello, Captain Evil.
Hello.
You look nice.
Thank you.
You look very,
What now? I look very what? Very, that's a good adjective, Steve Trevino.
I'm just saying that you look very comfortable. You look very comfortable.
No one can see the elastic waistband on my pants. Don't give it away.
You look good, though.
Thank you. We're
starting our episode. And it's like, I'm always in like a panic for these podcasts. Like, I'm always like, oh my God, like, what are we going to talk about? What's going to happen?
Oh, I thought you were like, they like me. They really like me.
Well, no, but that too. I'm so insecure. Like, I'm so insecure that, like, I told you before, like, one comment crushes me.
And now you're like, oh, I am funny?
No, I'll have 50, like, oh my God, we love you comments. And then I'll have one that's like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. And then I can't sleep. Because I'm insecure.
Oh, it's not that serious.
But I'm insecure because I have divorced parents.
Oh, the root of it. Just like that. Do you notice that, like, we don't even do a proper, hi, hello, welcome,
oh,
to,
hi,
the
welcome to the show. Oh, hi, welcome to the show. It's Steve Trevino and Captain Evil.
We just, like, jump right in every episode.
Well, no, because I'm like, okay, you know, episode one came out and people, you know, they loved it, but you know, I also wanted to make sure that there were a lot of the questions were like, oh my God, so how does it happen with your in-laws and how do they feel about it? And so we've gotten a lot of that.
Yeah.
So then I start thinking about parents and then I start thinking, you know, you always think about, okay, why am I?
That's a deep, deep well.
Right. The way that I am, right?
Yeah.
We know you're spoiled because.
Okay.
Because daddy,
go right
Raymond, always takes care of you.
I was a pretty, pretty princess.
You were a pretty, pretty princess. This woman has never heard the word no in her entire life.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
But I just want people to know that I absolutely love my in-laws.
And, I just don't take no for an answer.
Because your
I've
daddy.
Heard it. I just don't take it,
dude. Like when we first started living together, so I'm not gonna sit here and say that your parents are like filthy rich, but they're well off. I would use the term.
I grew up middle class.
No, honey.
Well, no, because when
but that's
I was
what
kid,
I mean. No, like, but she has no clue, dude.
No, in elementary
She's like,
school,
I grew up middle class, you know, in a 3,000 square foot house.
We had, pool,
we had a pool.
I lost
my mic. You want me to get it? I'll get it. I'll get into those pregnancy titties. They're the best. They're the best. They just keep getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. Just so you guys know, we're double mic'd. We have these microphones, and then we have the microphones just to make sure that we don't lose mic. So anyway, what are we talking about? Oh, this one here. Oh, I'm middle class with your 3,000 square foot house with your pool table.
Wait, but I did not. That
air
not
hockey.
My
bro, this girl has.
Home.
Dude, this girl has an air hockey table. Like. Okay. By the way, if that gives you any idea how big their game room is, air hockey table and pool table. Right. So middle class. She grew up middle class. Right.
My parents both have their own businesses and are very hardworking and accumulated wealth over their time together. When I was in elementary
I'm not
school,
sitting here saying
no,
that.
No, when I was in elementary school, I got my school clothes. Mom and I would go shopping for my school clothes. We would put them on layaway and then I'd get them.
And I agree with that when you were very young, you know, as they were building their business, you know, because obviously Rebecca, your little sister.
My younger sister grew up very differently than I did.
Very differently than you did.
Yes.
Because by the time your little sister was young baby, they were already in the 3,000 square foot house with the pool table. So let's tell this story. Dude, this girl kicks so much ass in air hockey. Remember? We're in New York City. We're dating. We're at NYU. And she's like, let's go to this bar we always hang out with, right? Hang out at or whatever. So we walk in there. They had an air hockey table. And these dudes were like going at it. And she's like, hey, do you guys mind if, you know, this...
I was not unbuttoning my top.
No,
you're over here
in
like
my
I was
mind.
Unbuttoning my top.
She's like, do you guys mind if this little girl plays air hockey, right? And they're like, whatever, bitch, right? Like all bro-y. And dude, Renee is wrecking shop on these dudes. Getting back then, I drank beer. She's like, "Yeah, my boyfriend needs a beer. And we'll play for a beer, bro." She finally was like, "Fuck it. Like, nobody's gonna beat me." And then the dudes were mad.
Oh, they were getting pissed. Yeah.
The dudes were like, "No, you gotta play again. We gotta play again." And I was like, "Holy crap, dude! My chick's awesome at air hockey." Well, of course, she grew up with an air hockey
table.
Had
a lot of practice.
In her middle class life, she grew up with.
I'm bougie on a budget, baby.
I grew up middle class.
Okay.
I would say that I grew up lower middle class.
I was going to say.
And you grew up upper middle class.
Fair enough.
So there's a big gap.
Fair enough.
Like when we first started dating, like your parents just, they just, their whole life revolves around their children.
Absolutely.
They're everything they ever did, right? And
absolutely.
Your dad was like, my daughter's going to have.
My parents lived for their children.
Everything.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, and we debate when it comes to raising our kid. You know, I grew up very hardcore. My dad gave me nothing, absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Other than, I can't say they gave me nothing, but monetarily he gave me nothing. My father didn't give me any money. By the time I was 12, 13 years old, I was roofing houses to make my own money. And
13?
Oh, yeah, 13 years old.
You're 13 up on a roof?
Mm-hmm. But my dad put me to work with my Uncle Johnny.
Would you put your 13-year-old son up on a roof?
Yes.
You would?
Absolutely. But it's, you know, me and you have these very different upbringings.
We had very different upbringings.
You know,
which makes for very interesting marital issues.
Well, no, it does, because, look, when I was growing up, when we went on vacation, we went somewhere where we had a cousin living so that we could stay with them. So I grew up like, you know, that's why I'm so close to Mike and Chyle and Mario, because if we went to San Antonio to go to the San Antonio Zoo,
yeah,
we stayed at Mike's house. Right. And of course, they didn't have a big home. So now all of a sudden we're throwing, you know, a pallet in the living room. And so, by the way,
no.
My mom is one of nine. I have on my mom's side, probably what, 20 first cousins?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, even your second and third cousins still consider themselves your first cousins. So you have like a gang of people.
So and then on my dad's side. Right? All the first and second cousins were all... I graduated GP with seven first cousins.
I just remember you and I had been dating for 7 years before we got married.
And you still hadn't met them all.
No. And on Facebook, I would get messages that would say like, "Hi, welcome to the family." And I'd be like, "Who the heck are you? What do you mean, welcome to the family? I've been dating this man for 7 years and I don't know who you are."
And then you, even though, you know, you're Mexican-American, you grew up with just your immediate family.
Yeah.
So... Like,
well, no, I mean, I went on family vacations with my cousins and stuff too, but it was different.
We all got your own hotel rooms.
We did.
So when we first started living together, bro, like, you know, we live in LA, so cousins would be like, "Steve, we're coming. You know, can we stay with you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, man, crash out here." And we had this tiny one bedroom apartment, and I'd throw a blanket out on the living room, and she'd be like, "Oh my God, tell your cousins to get a hotel. What are these people doing here?"
Life with you is a bed and breakfast.
It is a bed and breakfast.
Yes, life with you is definitely a bed and breakfast.
Big adjustment for you.
Yes.
Why are you...
No, because I'm used to a little... Like you said, I didn't grow up like that. I'm used to a little more privacy and personal space.
But she, you know, and she's also like, "Can they call? Why did they just show up?" And I'm like, because I have an open door policy with my family. They know.
No. I mean, if we're going to have overnight guests, like, I'd like to have clean linens and clean towels and have some food in the house.
I've had to learn that. I've had to learn that.
I like to prep.
I have to set, you know, I have to go check with the warden. You know what I mean? Yeah. I got to go check with the hotel management. You know, hey, do we have vacancies? Are we allowed
But sometimes we legitimately have to check if we have a vacancy because we are booked solid.
But you've come around. You've done, you know.
Yes. I have prepared myself for spring break through school starting. It is literally like a bed and breakfast and there's guests every weekend.
But you have a brother and you have a sister.
Yes.
And your brother and sister, I treat them exactly the same way. I treat your parents exactly the same way. You do not treat my family the same way you treat your
no,
family.
No, that is so not true.
That's true.
Look at you starting shit.
I like to start shit on the podcast because you keep
it's a safe zone.
It's a safe zone. We're in the bird nest right now. We're able to talk.
Listen, about, they put things on here I can safely throw.
But I mean, her, like, I grew up so hardcore where it was, I'm on my own, handle your shit, make sacrifices, right?
Yeah.
And we move in together, and then all of a sudden in the mail, we're getting $500 checks from your parents. $1,000 checks from your parents.
Look, they were worried about me with you.
Dude, her dad would be like, or Renee would be like, deposit it. It's a gift. I'm like, no, dude, a Starbucks gift card for $50 is a gift. This is charity. So every year, I'd come home with the checks, and I'd hand them to my father.
Okay, you make it sound like there were like a lot of
there
checks.
There was over there was the
not
year.
A lot of, there were not a lot of checks.
Five?
They were legitimately five checks? Worried about me.
Five checks?
No.
Right. Oh, and then we'd go home, and then her mom would take her shopping, and then she'd be like, look, my mom was so sweet. She bought me all this stuff. I'm like, charity again. Charity again. I don't want it. But I think that that's why.
That was before we were married, though.
Well, we didn't get married for...
I know. We did it for a long time before we got married.
A long time. We should talk about that, dude.
We did a long time.
No, we should talk about the fact that... Okay, so me and my in-laws, we get along fabulously, actually. And we're very lucky that your mom is such a great grandmother and your dad is... Me and your dad have become very good friends, but it's been a process.
Oh, for sure.
And I think part of that process is me bringing those checks back and earning his respect, because me and him, we grew up very similar. You know, your dad didn't have anything.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, he'd be like, oh, by the way, middle class. Steve, use one of our cars when you come home. Middle class. Just grab one of the cars.
You act like they're Bentleys or something. My dad has like three cars that shouldn't totally be in a
He has a drive. Classic Cadillac in one of his houses right now.
Yes, he does.
In one of his houses, okay. Right?
Yes.
He has a Chevrolet
for the record,
High Country
for the record,
3500. It's a $90,000 truck.
$90,000. He never bought himself a truck that nice until this last year.
Because finally I took on the burden of his daughter. Because he can fucking afford it, dude. Finally he's like, oh my God, I don't have to send checks to these fools.
No, I just want to point out that we are like dissecting my family tree right now. You said we treat our families, you treat
no,
my family.
No, we're going to get into my family too.
Okay, I'm just making sure we're going to dissect equally.
We're going to get into my family too.
Okay.
However, I think people are interested in... How does that dynamic work with me being the one on stage talking about their daughter?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
And I think
that's uncomfortable.
To who?
To who? To my folks.
Why?
It doesn't bother me because I know you and I live with you on a daily basis. I know you and I know your heart. But when we first started dating, you and I were living in California. Our families are in Texas. They don't spend a lot of time with us. So a lot of what... they are getting and seeing is not actually life with us. It's what they see on stage, what they see in a video, you know?
No, and I get that.
And so where your comedy started versus where it is now was a little rougher. That was a little tougher for a parent to swallow.
I would agree, but a lot of the jokes were about you swallowing.
And See how I did that?
Don't set yourself up. You know better. No, and I get that, right? And I get that your parents have this feeling of like, oh my God, he's talking about my daughter. And yes, the jokes in the beginning were a little more rough. And I think it took you basically telling them, hey, if I don't have a problem with
it. Yeah, they had to hear that a lot. My brother too. They had to hear it a lot that it didn't bother me, that I was okay with it. I think there was a significant portion of time where they felt like they needed to speak up for me on my behalf.
Yes, and I get that, right?
I get it too, because even I have girlfriends who even feel that way. So I can understand why my parents would.
And I get that, you know. But like I said, so over time, I think that our relationship has grown together as a family, right?
Yes.
And family.
They needed to see that.
Family is very important to me, and I think that I bring that. And that's the thing about mine and your relationship is that we, because I think that we're such different people, we bring so many different perspectives to our marriage.
Yeah.
Right. You know. So.
But we've also talked about you and I how we. Sometimes in hindsight, we wish we would have gotten married sooner and not waited 7 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Not because it so much would have made a difference for you and I, but for our families and
absolutely.
That dynamic.
And you know, to get nice pots. when you get married, you get nice pots and pans, dude. Nice shit. And if I would have known that there was a bunch of nice shit at weddings, that we wouldn't have struggled so much with all the crap.
We need new ones, by the way.
Yeah, we do need new ones.
New pots and pans.
But I do want to tell the story. So, okay, first of all, dude, you ruin every surprise. If I'm trying to do something nice for Renee, she is such a freaking FBI agent that she will fuck up every surprise. One of the surprises, you were going to...
One of them, like, which one?
You were going to Australia, so I went and bought you a Tiffany's necklace to remember me, right? So you wouldn't bone other dudes, right?
Not just a nice gift, definitely an ulterior
motive. I mean, you were
motive.
Going over there to work with Gerard Butler, so...
You would have preferred I got a tattoo with your name on my arm.
Right, so I put my name on the little thing so that when Gerard Butler's on top of
you... Okay.
I mean, dude, she's working with the 300 guy, Mr. Abs, in Australia. So anyway, I'm going to get her this gift. I'm going to surprise her with a kind of a going-away
He's
gift.
He's clearly not my type, babe.
Dude, and... That was funny. That was good. I'm proud of you. You've gotten funnier. You have to admit that being married to me and being around constant comedians, you've gotten funnier.
One of your cousins told me that. She said, Renee, since you've been married to Steve, you've gotten really funny.
Yeah, we do that. My family does that for our spouses. So I'm going to get her this gift. And first of all, she won't leave me alone a long enough time to go get it. So I'm like, all right. I go, hey, I'll be right back. And then she's like, where are you going? What are you doing? And I'm like, I'll just be back. I'm going to go get ice. And she's like, ice? We don't need ice. Let me check. We've got plenty. I'm like.
Which was such bullshit. You couldn't think of anything better. It's not that I ruin the surprises. It's such a really terrible act that I'm going to get ice.
Or how about.
Meanwhile, you have to run all the way to Pasadena and back.
How did you know it was in Pasadena, you savage?
Because I know where the store is.
Wow. Bro, she's like, where are you going? So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. I'm going to Pasadena. I bought you a necklace. Which, by the way, she has never worn it.
That's not true.
I think Gerard Butler's wearing it as a bracelet right now. So
I gave it to him to remember.
So then all of my cousins on the Treviño side that were very close in my age and that were very close to me, we have this big Christmas Eve party. And most of the proposals happen at that Christmas Eve party, right?
That's like a family thing?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Who's gotten married at a Treviño Christmas Eve?
Kimberly, Tim. I mean, everybody proposed. So anyway.
Oh, I didn't know it was like a family
thing. And by the way, dude, she's so bougie that she was like, are we getting married or not? And I'm like, yeah, I'm working on it. Well, these are the rings I like. Like, not even go pick out your own ring.
No, listen, it had been 7 years. Let's be real.
Like,
it had been 7 years. And I basically said, it's going to happen by the end of this year or it's not.
Oh, she did. She put the hammer down.
You're going to figure out how to get a ring by the end of the year.
She's like, I'm tired of living in sin.
But you're going to figure
it
out.
I've been living in sin. I'm going to cash daddy's checks and leave. That's the problem, dude, is that she has options. And she's always had the options. Women without rich daddies... sit it there and go, I have to put up with this shit. There's nowhere to go. Nobody's going to bail me out. Renee's like...
My dad made sure of that. He was just sending me a little lifeline.
Let me know. Hey, you need to leave. I got you, fool. Right? So anyway, dude, I'm like, oh, I'm all nervous about it. And any man that's ever proposed, it is the hardest thing in the world to do. Wouldn't you say that I am very fearless?
Yes.
Almost to anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing scares me. Walking on stage, nothing scares me.
Yeah.
Dentists scare me. And then this feeling of having to propose was like, I don't know how you guys were, fellas, but it was nerve-wracking, right? So I buy the ring, And by the way, Dad and Sarah helped me buy the ring, and I've got the stupid ring. We're driving from L.A. By the way, I've always said that the engagement ring was a man's idea to buy another year. You know what I mean? The engagement ring was like, here, can you just shut the fuck up for a year? Here, just shut up. Will this get you off my back for another year, at least, right? Because, I mean, how many times do you meet people and they're like, we've been engaged for 4 years? And you're like, well, he's buying time. So we're driving home from L.A. To Corpus, to Portland. And then Renee goes, God, it's Christmas time. She goes, it's so fucking cheesy that people propose on Christmas Eve. I'm like, oh my God, dude, like I have this stupid ring. That was the plan, and she's already shitting on it. So I'm like, all right, okay, change of plans. We're not proposing Christmas Eve. So, okay, by the way, so then I at this point, I don't think that her parents still didn't like me. They liked me. They weren't in love with me. So I go up to her dad, like you're supposed to, and I'm like, hey, you know, Raymond, I bought this ring, and I'm thinking about marrying your daughter. Most dads are like, oh, my God. Welcome to the family. This is great news. We're going to have a great wedding. Most dads. Her dad goes, oh, well, you work hard. That's what he said. Well, you work hard.
Which is true.
He goes, maybe we should go tell Mary, right? So we walk inside, and I'm like, hey, Mary, I got this ring, and I'm planning on asking Renee to marry me. And she literally goes, well, not right away. Like, that's what that's what I got from my in-laws. He works hard and, well, not right away.
7 years in.
I'm like, yeah, we're 7 years in. And she's like, can we let Renee think about this shit?
I'm sorry, I'm crying.
You're crying because you decided to marry me? Because your parents were right?
No, because it's really funny.
So I'm like,
I mean, we can laugh about it now because they really love you now. But back then, it was still sort of a shit show.
I didn't even know what to say. Like, I was just like, okay, well, I'm planning on proposing. I had nothing. Like, I didn't have anything to say.
No comeback.
I was so disappointed in the response. Like, it was heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my whole life, I've heard you're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, from teachers, from my entire life has been, you're not good enough, right? So that was another moment in my life where I'm like, shit, I'm not good enough again.
No, like, but I think,
you know,
I'm not a super lovey-dovey, over-emotional person. I'm a little more reserved. And I think my parents definitely are as well. I don't think, I feel bad for you, but it wasn't like, no, don't do it. I just think they didn't know how to respond to the moment.
No, that's a horrible answer.
What do you mean?
That's all. You go, oh my God, welcome to the family. If there's anything we can do to help, we're so happy for you guys. I mean, something.
I don't think they got that response from their parents.
Are you making excuses?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't think they realized how important that, like, in hindsight, I don't think they realized how important their response was to that moment.
No, maybe, but if you are genuinely happy about something, right, there is no...
Yeah, well, they weren't there yet.
But that's okay. We got somewhere. They were not happy. And look, most men would have said...
Your bachelor party was right before we filmed Grandpa Joe's Son.
Yes.
Just to, like, put it into timeline perspective of your comedy. So
why are we going back to the comedy?
So that people understand my parents' perception with you up until that point. Like I said, even though we'd been
7 years, they haven't got to know me in 7 years.
When we would come home for a week here and there from California,
and they would stay in my home. Our home, they didn't get to know
that me. Helped. I remember them coming to visit us and actually
way,
staying
dude,
with us.
We were like helped. The, I don't want them in our house. And if they're not married and we can't have them sleeping together, blah, blah. 5 years later, her little sister brings home a boyfriend. Hey, sleep it up, you guys. Why are y'all sleeping in separate rooms? Get in there.
Shut your mouth.
I'm going to throw these condoms
shut
away.
You so absurd. And then you wonder.
So then I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, oh crap, like she doesn't want to get, I don't, she doesn't want me to propose. And your grandmother was passing at that time.
Yeah.
And we go to the hospital and your grandmother grabs our hands and puts our hands, which by the way, your grandparents always loved me.
Yeah.
And it's one of the reasons I love Rebecca so much, your little sister, because she's always loved me, and I've always loved her, and it was never a, who are you? I just remember Rebecca, she was in seventh grade when I met her, and she goes, well, you must be smart, because my sister is going to marry somebody smart. And I was like, I am. I'm very intelligent. I can't spell, but I'm very smart.
Google will solve that
so
problem one day.
Your grandmother takes our hands and puts them together, and I'm like, yeah. Well, maybe now is the time. Like maybe I propose now, and then all of a sudden like your dad and mom walk in, I'm like, no, they don't deserve
that would have been the moment.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna do it then. So then I'm like, hey, you know, maybe we should rent a place in on the beach. Like, you know, Port Royal in South Texas is like the place, right? And I'm like, hey, I go, why don't we? She's like, that's dumb.
No, I just said, why are we going to spend money when we have your folks' house, my folks'
and
house?
Like,
we have plenty of room and
I'm
places
like,
to stay.
I don't know. You know, it's nice. We're a couple. You know, maybe I'll fucking propose. You know what I mean? She's like, no, that's stupid. So now I'm annoyed. And the freaking ring's been in my pocket, burning a hole. And then finally, she's bitching about something. And we walk in my mom's house, and I'm like, I need to talk to you. She's like, what? She still hadn't figured it out. She's like, what? I'm like, can you come here? I want to tell you something. She's like, wow, I don't know what you want to tell me. Why do I have to go over there? I'm like, fuck it. You want to marry me or not? And then she was like, oh my God. Right. And then my mom comes in. My mom,
yeah,
super dramatic. Mijo, like losing her mind. Right. And then that's how the proposal went down. Because
yes.
My parents don't like me and they hate me. They like me now. And I think I feel
they
very,
love you now.
I feel very blessed because, you know, they are wonderful people. And
you know they love you now. You feel loved now.
They're wonderful people. They're,
you didn't answer the question.
Me and your dad.
But
that's what's weird. Like, you know, your dad was kind of the heavy on the whole thing. And now me and him are very close.
Yeah.
Your in-law situation is very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we have to do 3 Christmases, 3 Thanksgivings, which was fine when it was just the two of us. But now that we have Garrett, it's a little trickier. But even years later, your mom and your dad would still prefer to not be in the same room.
Well, and people don't realize that, you know, Gregory Portland is a very small place and that all of our parents live in the same town.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times couples are like, oh my God, you're so lucky. Right? You go home and you get to see everybody. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
You can never make everyone happy. There's no way they're all going to be happy with how you chose to divvy up the time, especially now that there's a grandson.
Well, and your parents are very protective of their time because, like you, they weren't used to the big Christmases and the big Thanksgiving. So,
yeah.
You know, they want to do their own little thing, which is boring for me. I like the circus.
Well, but then, right? But then your parents want to do 2 separate circuses.
I mean, it's still hilarious to me that my parents have been divorced for 30 years, maybe more, 30-something years, and they can't be in the same room. Like, it's unbelievable.
Well, and even like, for my folks, like, if they want to invite them over, then it's like you're taking sides, right?
Right,
like,
so
if
it's like, are we going to invite
one and not the other, so that you invite both, but then neither one of them is really going to come.
And then like, my mom sees my stepmom, and she's like, oh, that fucking bitch is here. That bitch is here. I gotta go. I don't want to see that bitch. And you're like, dude, you guys have been divorced.
Yeah.
For 35
no,
years.
No, and then if...
Can you be civil?
If your mom and I go get a manicure pedicure, and then I don't go do that with your stepmom...
Oh, then it's a whole
then
thing.
That's a whole thing, yeah. Too.
It's a whole thing.
It's tricky to navigate.
So, you've got my mom, who is super energetic and likes to be around and likes to shop with you. That's her role.
Your mom always says, you and I are both Virgos.
Which, by the way, my dad is like, hey, your mom's like your wife, and I'm like you, and we didn't make it. So you're not going to make it, buddy, right? And I'm like, maybe I'm not like you, and maybe my wife's not like my mom. But so you guys totally get along, right?
Yeah.
And then my stepmom...
Your mother and I share a lot of similar interests and hobbies.
Mom is the only one that can buy you something and nail it. Like, my mom's the only one that buys Renee a article of clothing, jewelry.
Well, because a lot of times it's something she bought for herself, and then she decided she didn't want to keep it.
She's like, mija, these pumps are 8 inches. I'm used to 6. You want them? I bought them for me.
But I'm not... I inherited a pair of blinged out heels. Yeah.
Which, by the way, we got to show a picture of them. Just so the people heels. Can see. Like,
yeah. Oh, she hooked me up with a pair of really cute leopard print ones today, too. I almost wore them, but I thought the leopard print shoes and a leopard print scarf would be too much.
So then my mom remarries Arthur Gerber. So my mom is a Gerber now.
Yeah.
And Arthur is a civil engineer. He's very serious. And he talks like this. And he's very serious. And well, that's great. And how's things going, Steve, with the comedy career? That's Arthur, right? Very, very serious. And then my mom is this potty mouth diva, 70-year-old. Fucking shit, Arthur! Like, she's always yelling, Arthur!
Yeah.
Fucking shit, Arthur! So Arthur, Arthur buys my mom a Christmas gift, and it's big. Right, it's big, and it's under the tree, and Arthur's like, Dora, I think you're really going to like this one here, Dora. I put a lot of thought into it, and you're really going to, it's gonna really do it for you, Dora.
He shouldn't have hyped it up so much.
He did hype it up. So mom's over there in front of, because mom's very dramatic, right? And mom has to have the whole family watching, and everybody's over, and she starts opening.
I think that's where you get it from.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, because dad's very quiet.
Yeah.
It's very serious. Dad, you know, I remember last year at Schlitterbahn, my nieces go, oh, my God, we saw Grandpa Joe smile. Like, it was a big deal. They were like, oh, my God, Grandpa Joe smiled. Right? So mom's like this, you know, she comes out. And
that's where you get your flair for the dramatic from.
She starts opening the gift, and the first words out of her mouth, Arthur, what the fuck is this shit? And Arthur goes, well, Dora, it's a cappuccino machine, a professional one. High grade commercial cappuccino machine. And she goes, why the fuck would you buy me that?
You never buy a woman an appliance as a gift. So then
Arthur goes, well, Dora, you like cappuccinos. Not to make them, Arthur. To buy them. And dude, it's like, oh my God, dude, that's my wife. That's Renee.
No, that's every woman. Don't buy any woman an appliance for a gift. If you learn nothing else from our podcast, do not buy a woman an appliance as a gift.
So that's Dora.
Yeah.
Right? And you guys are thick as thieves. And my family, how does it feel to have a family just accept you?
How does it feel
just to be loved from the get-go?
Hush your mouth.
Does it feel good? Does it build confidence?
I don't know, I'm kind of used to it everywhere I go, babe.
Then you got Sarah. My stepmom is your typical Mexican saint. Well, and then it gets complicated because there's my madrina Angie, too.
Yeah.
You know, madrina and I are very, very close.
Yeah. And we have to buy a lot of Mother's Day cards on Mother's Day.
Yeah. And then you got Joe. But what I do love, so you know, it's interesting because people always talk about, like, in-laws. I think you find things that you love about your in-laws in different ways, you know?
Yeah.
I think we love mom's energy, right? And mom coming over and her laugh and her energy.
Yeah.
Right?
That woman can shop. She can out-shop me.
Anybody.
Yes, she can out-shop anyone. That is accurate. Yes.
Then you got Arthur, who is always very easy and fun to talk to because he's extremely intelligent.
Has a lot of knowledge.
And, you know, usually...
And patient. Such a, like, kind and gentle and patient man.
I learned a lot watching Arthur. You know, he was such a patient guy and you know, very different than my dad. I mean, you know, dad was taking me to the beach to check out chicks. And
Arthur goes to your sister's house and helps the granddaughters with their math.
Yeah. You know, Arthur takes me to the beach to check the solidity levels in the, you know, he's like, Steve, I bought this solidity. Let's go check it out. Let's see what kind of salt we got in the bay today. You know, that's Arthur. And then dad's like, look at that bitch. You know what I mean? Nice ass, you know. And I always say that I kind of grew up rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah.
You know,
when like you think about it.
And then Sarah prays for us. Sarah's very helpful at the house when it comes to helping him straighten up. And she's very sweet and very kind.
Thoughtful.
And, you know, but what I do love about dad and Sarah is they're never in the way.
Yeah.
You know, dad and Sarah have always had the philosophy of like, you have your life with your wife. And if you need us, we're here for you.
Yeah.
And if you want us to come over, let us know. Because my dad's very like, hey, you and your wife and your son are your own family.
Yeah.
And if you need us, we're there for you. And if you want us to come over, let us know. We'll come over. And I love that about them. They're not intrusive. They're not. Dad doesn't get involved in our marriage, you know.
Oh, not at all. No.
Let's talk about your parents. But
oh, back to my parents.
But your
parents don't get involved in our marriage either. What is that?
But your parents are fun. Your dad's a lot of fun. They have a lot of energy. They are younger than my parents, which helps. They're very good with Garrett.
Yeah.
And they are over more than I think everybody. Well, not lately.
Not lately.
Dude, the Rona's freaked your dad out, bro.
Yeah.
Your dad's
I think the Rona freaked a lot of people out, yeah.
Yeah, but your dad's like, I'm not going anywhere. Like.
Yeah.
You know, but it's funny because your dad and my mom are very similar.
I was going to say that earlier. Yes, they are a similar personality type. They're both the life of the party.
And they're both vain. They're both vain. Because your dad sent us the picture. Oh. He painted his beard because it was white. And he sends us a picture and he's all.
Looking like Al Pacino.
Yeah. And your mom sent it,
young
right?
Young Al Pacino. Yeah,
which, by the way, your mom thinks is funny, too, which is even funnier. Like, your mom's, like, on the sly, fucks with people.
Well, my parents are high school
You know what I mean? Like,
no, but mom had sent me a picture earlier. Dad was, like, putting hair color on her gray roots. He was doing it for her, so then she turned around and did it
for him. But that's, you know, that's another thing that, you know, going back to the beginning of this conversation of... You know, me coming from divorced parents and you having these parents who...
Were high school sweethearts. And even before high school, like junior high, I think. I think my mom's like 13.
Dude, your dad's gross, dude.
Like, he's only 2 years older than she
hooking up with a 13-year-old?
He's like, only like 2 years older than she is.
Which, by the way, that's why
you're
I love...
You're gross.
That's why I am.
You're gross.
And only you know that.
I'm not fist bumping you that.
But, you know, look, I think that all of our... in-laws bring something to the table. I think there's been challenges. I think that over the years, your parents have grown to see how much we love each other.
Yes.
Right? How much we care for each other.
Yeah.
And I think what's important, too, is how many people enjoy it. Right?
Yeah. But truth be told, my parents are the ones who deal with the brunt of your jokes for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, but that has changed, too, because... You know, remember, me and your dad are in Vegas, and he eats the gummy, the marijuana gummy, and all of a sudden I have this great story about getting high with my father-in-law, but I can't tell it because we weren't sure if he was...
Comfortable with it. You know what? I feel like that is the first time that you have ever asked someone if they are okay with you telling a joke on stage.
Because it's about them specifically, and it could affect his. Because at that time he was still he was retired. And he owns a business in town, and I didn't want to blow his cover. Even though, come on, does your dad really have a cover? Everybody kind of knows. But you know, I have this.
Well, everybody knows now.
Well, but he didn't care. I've got this great story of me and my father-in-law in Vegas and him eating a gummy, specifically a gummy marijuana gummy bear, and him being so high that he's losing his mind. And then I'm sitting there going, fuck, I can't tell it. Right?
Yeah.
So then I go up to him and I'm like, Raymond, I really want to tell the story. about you getting high. He's like, go for it. Go for it. Yeah. Which, by the way, now we have the...
hadn't you, like, told it once before? Or you had asked him if you could tell it, and he said yes. But remember, but he hadn't seen it yet.
He hadn't seen it yet,
and then you went home, and you had his permission to do the joke. So you did the joke. Well, the priest at their church at the time, or the secretary from the church at that time, was at your show and saw it. And my parents run into her in a restaurant having lunch with the priest.
I guess,
and they pull my parents over to chat. And she starts asking my dad about the gummy bear joke in front of the priest.
Apparently, is that real?
Yeah.
You like to get high?
Yeah, poor father. Like.
By the way, don't even get me started with that priest. I don't even know if it's that one or not. Bro, so.
He's my favorite.
Of course. Because he's a. Dude, let me tell you this. When all you and I told Renee, I go, watch. When all the men come by after church to shake hands, right? Mm-hmm. Right? He'll grab your hand and he'll move you on, right? He'll be like, oh, bless you. And then he moves you on. And then if an ugly girl or an old lady comes, he's like, okay, he moves them on, right? Right? Like trips them and like pushes them.
Dude, shut your mouth.
Anytime it's a young girl like Renee, a good looking girl, he's hugging them. Oh, come here.
Shut your
and I'm
mouth.
Like, Renee, watch. Watch.
You're just jealous.
Which, by the way, how about that one priest before my special? He's in your mom's beauty shop.
Oh, my mama asked him before you filmed Relatable.
First of all, he's getting his eyebrows waxed, this priest. He's laid back in the chair, guy, and they're waxing his brows. And he's like, oh, so you're a comedian. I'm like, yeah, man, I'm a comedian. I'm like, he's like, oh, maybe I should come to your show and bless your show. And I was like,
my mom asked him
yes.
before we filmed Relatable if he would come and say a blessing for us in the
He goes, oh no, he's too dirty for me. Oh, but you tweezing your eyebrows is okay.
To each their own.
But an
F bomb.
Yeah, I get it, whatever. But here's what we've learned today. Absolutely nothing.
Nobody likes Steve. Everybody likes Renee.
Everybody does love you. Everybody. And that's why I love you. Everybody loves you. And I think that because it's this yin and yang, this ugly, beautiful, this insecure, confident, I think the whole combo is what's beautiful and what makes us us. We've been so lucky that all of our parents bring something great to our grandchild.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. You know, he is such a loved little boy.
Yeah, you know, my mom is always sending him gifts and you know.
Teaches him Spanish words.
Teaching him, you know.
What did he say the other day? Chingao.
Yeah, he said chingao. and then my dad and Sarah, you know, dad is this tough, rough Vietnam vet.
And
you
Garrett
know,
needs that.
That, you know, dad will just give him a look and he's like, what's wrong with grandpa? Is he mad at me? And, you know, so dad has that kind of, you know, it enforces my discipline kind of, you know, and Sarah's so sweet and your parents, you know, they're young and they want to play and they want to take him to the Tech State Aquarium and they have the energy for him. So we've been very fortunate in that. And, you know, now that we're preggers again, which by the way, that's why Renee is wearing a man's shirt. Is because we have not told Garrett about you being pregnant because last time we told him, he was very excited. And then obviously we ended up with the miscarriage. And then that was such a heavy, heavy-handed conversation.
And he's such a bright child, so he knew exactly what
Which, by the way, he's catching on, because the other day he's like, Mom's boobs are getting fat.
He did.
And I totally high-fived him. I'm like, yeah, dude. Right? So, you know, we're at that point where, you know, we got the test back saying that everything is
low risk.
Which, by the way, I don't think I've cried so much in my life, like, this pregnancy has just been so emotional, you know, and we're so happy about it. And so, you know, we're just having that debate of, you know, when do we tell him?
We're getting to the point where we're going to have to.
Yeah, he's going to be like, yo, dude, Mom needs to lay off the tacos, Dad.
But the hard part was all the questions he was asking afterwards and both of us having to relive that emotionally and be really strong and clear
and simple about it in our explanations to him. That
so,
was hard.
I mean, we have been kind of teasing it, and, you know, we're like, hey, you know, we've been praying for a brother or sister for you. And he's like, brother.
Because he's been saying he doesn't want one.
Oh, he tells me, he's like, I pray for a brother. You know, and it's really sweet because he goes, Dad, that way mom has three boys to protect her.
That's what he told me the other night at bedtime.
And
he
said, stuff like that where you're like,
three boys to protect you.
But, you know, so we're trying to tell him, right, you know, we just want healthy and we just, you know,
yeah.
We never know what it's going to be. Are you going to be a good brother and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, maybe, you know, very soon we'll be telling him and we can talk about it here on the podcast about how he reacted, you know, what, and look.
I kind of want to get it on video.
Maybe.
For us, just to see his reaction.
Maybe we'll do it on video.
We got to think of a cute way to, I want to think of a cute way to tell him.
Yeah, we can do that.
We should talk about that.
We can do that. So we'll see, man. We're
a way to make it fun and exciting for him.
But you know, it is scary because last time we were past this point when you had
we had the low risk results last time.
Yeah,
too.
We got the low risk results, and then boom, here we. So it's scary, man. And we've been very. But by the way, when you have almost 5 year old, you never have time to talk. Like, it's not like we can talk about it because.
I know, we've been trying to talk for 5 days about whether or not we're going to go to Houston with you. Because I don't want to talk about it in front of him.
I think that's why we need the podcast. That's why we need the podcast. So we can talk. We can actually have time to talk.
Yes, yeah. Face to face.
Well, this has been another episode. I think.
Oh, I want to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I did cut you off because I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who's listening. It's been really surprising and wonderful and
it's
cool.
Been, man, like I said, it's been overwhelming, and the fact that people even care, it to me is unbelievable. Like, it's just, and so thank you all, and please continue to share.
Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button.
Please, you know, and let people know about us, and let's, I know, like I said, we're late to the podcast game, but help us, please, and help us make this
successful. People are sharing it.
Because we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
We're enjoying it. So
you know, yeah, it's fun.
So, you know, a lot of times you guys say, oh, you know, Steve and Renee, you know, you help us in our marriage. You guys have no idea how much you help us in our marriage. So that was another episode of Steve Trevino and his Captain Evil. Thank you so much. You have anything else to say?
That's it. Just big thank yous.
Awesome. I love your pregnancy boobs. And maybe we'll show those later.
No, we will not. We're out.